All right, well, kids, you can stay where you're at again. I was actually going to invite you all to come up and sit in the front, but praise the Lord, there's too many kids and not enough room in the front. So that's, I'm definitely all right with that. But you guys are going to join with us here again this morning, as you did last week, but this morning I'm more prepared for it. So I do just want to say how glad I am that you can be with us here for the sermon again this morning. And gathering together with the believers in Christ, your fellow believers in Christ, is one of the most important things that you can do each week. Can you bring my Bible up, Levi? Levi can get it. I thought it was already up here. That's interesting. Thanks. Hey, at least I didn't do it in the middle of the sermon and you'd have been like, what is going on here?
You asked Levi. Your wife answered. She said she would come.
And Tom brought it. Yeah. Hey. That's the body. That's exactly what I was thinking. That's the body of Christ.
That's the yep. The knee and the foot.
Right. And that's good. That's good. And since I just got my Bible delivered, learning from God's Word here as we are, gather together is the most important thing that we do as we come together at church. And kids, this is God's Word to you, right? To you. Did you know that? This God, the creator of the whole universe, has spoken to you. The all-powerful, wonderful, majestic King has a message that he wants to tell you. It's absolutely amazing, right? A plan to tell you who he is. A book, right, to teach you about himself. This God who made you and his plan to rescue you. It's awesome. This morning, you guys can join with us as we open our Bibles together to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. And this actually is a particular place in the Bible where God actually addresses children. Okay? There's a number of places where God does that, where he addresses children specifically. Okay, but the whole Bible is for you, even if you're a kid. All right? The whole Bible is given to you. But God here specifically addresses kids. So let's open our Bibles together to Deuteronomy chapter 5. And we'll ask God before we start to show us what this means, to draw us to know him better, and to teach us also to obey it. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask as we come to your word, God, that you communicate your truth to us. Lord, work your truth not just into our minds, but also into our hearts, that we might glorify you. We pray this, Lord, for your glory and in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Now, guys, as you remember, might remember from last week, we have been studying the Ten Commandments, okay? The Ten Commandments, as Moses here gives them again to the Israelites for the second time in Deuteronomy chapter 5. The first time, remember, was in Exodus 20 when they first came out of Egypt. And we've seen that these Ten Commandments are not just rules that don't really have any meaning. Okay, as in this is not just God being mean and trying to stop you from having fun. All right, it's actually just the opposite. It's just the opposite. These Ten Commandments are really God telling you, showing you how to thrive in this world. Did you know that we wouldn't really have a good life? We wouldn't know how to have a good life, a life of peace and joy and pleasure and a life that's pleasing to God and being in His blessing unless God told us how to do that. We wouldn't know because we sin. Right? And sin so messes us up that we think we know best. We think we know what's best. We think we know how to be happy, but we don't. It tricks us. Okay, the sin that's inside us wants us to live in a it doesn't want us to live in the way that God made us to. Okay, it's a power that holds us prisoner, each of us. Kids, teenagers, adults, it doesn't matter. It holds us power, or it holds us captive. It tricks us into thinking that we know what's best for us. That we'll be the happiest when we get what we want, no matter maybe even who we hurt to get it. So with the Ten Commandments, God is teaching us how to live in the way that He created us to live. Okay, this is a good thing. And so far, as we've gone through, we've seen that in order to be blessed by God, to live pleasing to our King, we need to hold God first in our lives. We're to love Him the most, and obey Him the most, and honor Him the most. The first commandment. Next, we saw that we're to worship Him in the way that He tells us to, in the way He wants to be worshipped. And we also saw that we're to hold Him in a high esteem in our hearts and also with the words that we say. And then, as maybe you remember from last week, we saw that God requires His people to take some time to get to know Him, to rest, to know Him and serve Him, to take a break from all the things of this world and refocus our attention on Him. Okay, so the first four commandments are all about our relationship with God, right? They're all about our relationship with God. And that's our first priority, isn't it? That should be the first thing in our life. Jesus said, right? What's the greatest commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And just so happens, that's the first four commandments, isn't it? That's how to do it. That's what loving God looks like. Okay, but this morning we're going to move into a different category of commandments. Commands that show us how we're to act in our relationships with other people. So your relationship with God is first. And kids. Kids, you get your attention now for the next 30 seconds. Kids, who is your next most important relationship with? First is God. Who's next? Bennett?
Our parents.
You got it. Your parents, right? It's not your friends at school. Okay, it's not your teachers at school. It's your parents. Right? So God is going to tell us about that one next. This is the fifth commandment. So let's take a look at it. Let's see it. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Kids, you can open your Bibles with us there too. And we're at verse 16. Verse 16. And hear the word of the Lord. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So that's the command. God says in order to please Him, in order to be happy even in this world, you're to honor your father and mother. And what does it mean to honor? Well, in Hebrew, in the language that this was first written in, okay, it actually comes from the same word as glory, as in God's glory. And that word glory there, okay, it means something that's heavy or something that's weighty. Okay, it could be like a rock that's really big and heavy, or it could also be used in this way. Did you ever hear somebody say, when you're talking about something very serious or something very important that went on, you could say, oh, wow, this is heavy. This is heavy stuff, right? That's the kind of that's the kind of way that it's used here. Like, this is important. This is serious. This is something that really matters. Okay? And that's what it means. So to honor your parents is to actually look at them in that way. To put them in a place of honor in your hearts. All right? That they matter deeply. Who they are. What they say. What they do. It matters. It really, really needs to be important to us. But it's also more than just our attitudes with our parents. Okay? It's how we treat them, right? How we act towards them, what we say to them, even what we say about them, maybe even when they're not around. To honor your parents means to obey them. Okay? To obey them. When they tell you to put your toys away and put your shoes on, right? Honor them by doing it. And doing it right away. You could probably tell how old my kids are by the examples that I'm going to use here this morning. But you older ones, I trust that you'll be able to figure this out as well. To honor your parents means to obey them without grumbling about it or throwing a fit about it. Okay, like when they tell you that you can't do something that you really want to do or get something that you really want to get. Okay, it means not whining about it. Honoring your parents means not complaining about them to your friends. If they're weighty, if they're important and they matter to you, you won't complain about them to your friends or to other family members or even to your other siblings. Okay, so honor them, respect them, obey them. God commands you to do that. So when you dishonor your parents, who else are you dishonoring? God, right? Right. When you disobey your parents, you're also disobeying God. We ought to be thanking our parents, right? The ones who raise us. Okay? Listen, guys, our relationship with our parents, your relationship with your parents, is the most important human relationship that you have right now, okay, until you get married. And think about it, it's also the first relationship that you have, isn't it? It's the first relationship you have. God has blessed us to be a part of a family that as you grow up, it's a place for you to learn, right? It's a place for you to learn. And part of learning is learning how to show respect and how to honor other people. Okay, we learn at home how to do that by respecting our parents. Now, kids, did you guys know that when you get home or when you get older, there's still a lot of people that you need to honor? It's not just your parents. You need to honor your teachers at school, right? You need to respect your teachers at school. And then when you get older still, you have to respect your boss when you get a job, right? When you get married, you have to respect and honor your husband or your wife. Okay, we also need to respect the authorities that God has put over us for our good, right? Even when you get older, God calls you to show respect to the leaders, the elders in your church, right? We're to honor the leaders in our government, in our country. The president and the governor and police officers, we have to show them respect as well. And if you don't respect them, it won't go well for you in life, right? We learn respect at home. What do you think will happen as you're 25 years old, 30 years old, and your boss at work tells you to wrap up that pallet and put it on a truck? And you cross your arms and say, "No, I don't want to." And go call them names and whine in the corner. Do you think that will go well? What do you think will happen? You'll get fired, right? And you won't have a job and you won't be able to have money and you won't be able to supply for your family. Okay? So learn how to respect people now by learning how to respect and honor your parents. At home. And now this is not a children's sermon, So parents, grandparents, it's our duty to teach our kids respect, isn't it? To teach them how to honor, how to show respect. The reality is we are all born sinful. Okay, so no matter how cute those little babies are, they're still sinful. Right? We are all prideful rebels against God. We all think the world revolves around us. We all do. Right? That we should get what we always want. So we need to teach our kids to respect their parents. Okay? That means discipline, doesn't it? And as we saw earlier this morning, that's a good thing. Proverbs 22:15 says, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him." So when a kid's being disrespectful to mom and dad, you need to deal with that. And that's actually what it means to love your child. It's part of what it means to love your child. Proverbs 13:24, "Whoever spares the rod spoils the child." No, it's not what it says. "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." You can't just let disrespect slide. Okay? They're not going to do it on their own. Right? Put some time in the corner, or a good swat, right? Or taking something away. Lord willing, that will move them in the direction that you are in the direction to honor you. And therefore, obey God's command. And therefore, grow up to obey God's commands. Again, Proverbs 23:13, "Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, you are mean." No. "If you strike him with a rod, he will not die." It's a good point there, isn't it? "If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol." And grandparents, we can use your help here too. Okay? There is a time and a place to dote on them. But you also need to help to uphold the standard of respect for their parents. Don't say that mom and dad's rules are too strict. If you think they are, then have a chat with mom and dad. Don't tell that to the kids. Right? Don't allow them to get away with too crazy kinds of things when their parents aren't around. Okay? If you hear them speaking disrespectfully about their parents, graciously remind them. Your grandkids or any kids, for that matter. Again, church membership, being part of the body of Christ, you can do that to any of the kids, especially mine. Remind them of their duty to honor their parents. And you help with discipline too, right? Sometimes you guys see things that we don't. And you can be like, "Hey, I know the direction that this is going to go in, so if you don't deal with this now, you know, this is gonna come back and bite you, right? So you should nip this one in the bud." And sometimes maybe we're also being a little too uptight. Sometimes we can be too much of a disciplinarian, right? And you can remind us, grandparents, to be gracious. It's not the end of the world. But parents and grandparents, we also can't leave you guys out of this command to honor your father and mother either. I did say that this command was given to children, right? I didn't say it was just given to kids. So if you are sitting here this morning, you are somebody's child. You ever think of that? Maybe. The kids. Did you guys know that even when you get older, God wants you to honor your father and your mother? He does. There's no age limit on this command, right? In fact, there's no age limit on any of these commands. It's not like God gave 9 commandments to adults and 1 command to kids. No. Kids and adults, we are all required to keep all 10 all the time. Always. Fifth commandment as we grow older. In Mark chapter 7, the Pharisees, okay, the religious leaders, they were trying to pick a fight with Jesus. The Pharisees and scribes saw that Jesus' disciples were breaking their traditional rules that they kind of made up. Right? They weren't God's rules, but they were, the Pharisees thought that they were God's rules, but they weren't. And these Pharisees, these kind of stuck-up religious people, challenged Jesus as to why his disciples were breaking their commands. They were trying to discredit him. They were trying to show that he's not a real Jew, he's not a real teacher, because he's breaking their traditional rules. And Jesus responded by saying, no, you're the ones who are breaking God's commands, so you can uphold, so you can hold on to your tradition. And Jesus said to them, says, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother. Do you remember, Jesus is speaking to adults, right? Honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. So Jesus says to these adults that they're breaking God's commandment to honor their father and their mother. Okay, that as adults, they're not breaking, or they're not honoring their father and their mother, and Jesus says that's wrong. And this, he's referencing a trick here that they, the religious leaders played. When their parents got older, okay, honoring their father and mother meant supporting them and helping them and caring for them, even as they couldn't work anymore, okay, or care for themselves in the way that they used to. But, he says, instead of doing that, they would take the money or the things that their parents should have received from them, that they would have used to support their parents, and they gave it to the temple, okay, so that they not only could receive praise from people because they're giving more money to the temple, and that's a great thing, and also more power because of it, but probably it seems they might have also been getting kickbacks from the money that was given as Corban. So it was all self-centered. See, they were all worried about themselves and their own accumulation of wealth and power, where they should have been honoring their parents. They were only thinking about themselves. But God's people are called to a lifelong respect of their parents. Okay, a respect that leads to action. Imagine what would happen if more adults obeyed this command to honor father and mother. We wouldn't have as many nursing homes, would we? I'm not saying that there's never a need for a nursing home or that it's always a bad thing, but I think a lot of times, ship them off, right? So it's less of a burden on me, and I don't have to deal with it because it's such an inconvenience. Yeah. Like they weren't inconvenienced when your mom gave birth to you. That is not honoring to father and mother. We're to honor our parents with even as physical and mental disabilities come about, right? I mean, how many times have you heard a kid, or not a kid, but a son or daughter ridiculing mom and dad because they have dementia or some other physical challenge comes about? But honoring them means not mocking them or not getting short with them even, when those things come. So this is a big command, isn't it? It reaches into everybody's lives, doesn't it? If you're here, you have a mother and a father to honor. Even if they're not with us right now, they still have a name that you should be honoring. Memories that you should be honoring as you talk about them. And notice also there's a promise here for those who obey this command, right? Look at verse 16. Second part of the verse. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long, and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. There's a blessing there, isn't it? God is saying you will be blessed when you honor your father and your mother. Your days may be long, and it may go well with you. Kids, does it go well with you when you dishonor mom and dad? Is there ever a time that it does, when you disobey them? When you disobey dad, what happens? You get in trouble, you get disciplined, right? And you cry, and your day isn't too good after that, right? Kind of ruins your whole day, doesn't it? Mom tells you that you can't get the thing that you wanted to get or do the thing that you wanted to do today. And you dishonor her by crying and whining and throwing a fit and pouting all day. Is it going well with you? No. Right? You're not enjoying the blessings that God has given you. The things that you can do. Because you're all focused on what you can't have or can't do, right? Instead of the things that you do have and can do. But God promises a blessing for honoring your parents. You know, the biggest way to honor your parents is to listen to them. Okay, hear them. Right? We've seen over in chapter 4 that it's a parent's duty to teach our kids. Okay? Specifically, teach them about who God is and what He's done and how He works and how gracious He is and how wrathful He is. How loving He is, and how just He is, and all those things, and what He does, and how He operates. It's our parents' job. It's the parents' job to teach their kids how to think in the way that God wants them to think, right? The way God wants you to think. There are a lot of bad, unhealthy, sinful ways out there of thinking, okay? The world is trying to teach you those bad ways of thinking, but it's your parents' job to teach you not to think like that. Okay? So if they say that you can't watch a certain show, TV show, or don't want you on certain websites or social media apps or whatever, right? Then honor them. Just that you probably don't know as much as they do. Right? Was it Mark Twain who said that when he was 12, he thought his mom and dad were the dumbest people in the world? And then by the time he was 20, 21, he said they really learned a lot in the last couple of years. Yeah, I think it was Mark Twain. Trust you don't know as much as they do, right? They've been around a little longer than you have, okay? You haven't learned what they have learned yet, but if you listen to them, you will learn it too. Okay? So now I want to drive this home that this is a hard command, isn't it? It's kind of impossible, right? There's a lot to do. And did you know that if you're going to be right with God, if you are going to have His full blessing, you have to keep this command perfectly. If you want to live in the new land that God is creating, the new heavens and new earth, instead of the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, you must always, constantly and forever, honor your father and your mother. Can you do that? Can we do that here this morning? No, you can't. You can't. You can try and try all you want, but you can't do it. Has anyone here ever honored your father and your mother perfectly? Show of hands. Never disobeyed, never whined, never complained about them, never said an unkind word about them.
What day of the week is it?
Does it matter? Crickets, right? Nobody. This means we're all in trouble, doesn't it? This is God's command. He says, you need to do this. And if you don't, you will be judged. We're all done for, right? We're all toast. We're rebels against God, and that means death for eternity. Right? So kids, what can we do? Stand up here listen to me stand up here, and then that was helpful. No, but we can't do anything about it. Did you know that? There's a power at work in you that makes you want to dishonor your mom and dad. We can't do anything about it. But there is somebody who did, right? There is somebody who always, constantly honored his father. Who was that? Jesus, right? And because he did, your disobedience to your parents, your disrespect to your parents, guess what? It can be forgiven. You can be forgiven and you can be right with God. Did you know that your relationship with God, if you are in Christ, is not based on how well you honor your parents? Did you know that? But if you are in Christ, your relationship with God is based on how well Jesus honored his Father. And you know what? That was perfect. It was perfect. Jesus said in John 6:28, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." And towards the end of his life, or towards the end of his time on earth, Jesus confirmed that he actually did it. John 14:31, Jesus says, "I do as the Father has commanded me." Perfect. You know what the Father wanted Jesus to do? What did God send Jesus here to do? Send him to die, right? Send him to die. The death that we deserve to die because we dishonor our parents. That's why Jesus died. He died in our place. All while honoring his Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he was arrested, Jesus prayed to his Father, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless," right? "Not as I will, but as you will." Jesus was obedient. He was perfect. Okay, so don't look at Jesus and say, "Oh boy, I want to be like him." Not yet. You look at Jesus and say, "He did that for me." Okay? And God looks at me in that way if you're in Christ. Because as the perfect Son of God, Jesus obediently went to that cross where the Father punished him for your sin. God punished Jesus because you are disobedient to your parents, not just kids, everybody. You know what else? Because of Jesus' obedience to the Father blessed Jesus too by raising him from that grave. Right? So that you can know that God is true to his word. That he will bless you by honoring your parents. He's faithful to his promises. And also that you can be freed from that power of sin that holds you prisoner. If you know Jesus as your Savior, the power that holds you captive, the power that prevented you from honoring your parents, Okay, that caused you to be selfish and prideful. Because Christ rose from that grave, it's broken in you. So now what was impossible, right? Honoring your father and your mother is now possible. Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 says to you kids, says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Did you catch that? It's a little different than here in Deuteronomy, right? He said, obey your parents, what? In the Lord. In the Lord. So if you've come to faith in Christ, you can and should be willingly under the authority of your parents and obedient to them, trusting that God has put them over you for your good. And you obey them in the Lord, as if you are obeying Christ himself. Obey them, your parents, as if you are obeying Christ himself. So the next time you're tempted to whine or complain or disobey, or to not listen, or to say something mean about mom and dad, the next time you're tempted to do that, ask God to help you. Ask him to help you. Say, Jesus, help me to honor you by honoring my parents. You can do that, right? If you know Jesus as your Savior, you can do that and he will help you. The next time, maybe honoring your parents means not getting your way, say to God, help me trust you that it will go well for me if I honor my parents. Okay? Sin wants to trick you, right? It wants to think that it's only going to be good for you when you get your own way, no matter what your parents say. Okay, but God says, no. Honor your parents that it may go well with you. All right? And if you know Jesus, if you have come to Christ in faith, he has forgiven your disobedience and he will empower you. Okay? He will help you and cause you to be obedient to your parents. And praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for your commandments here. We thank you that you have taught us what is good and what you require. Lord, we thank you that even though we cannot meet these requirements, Lord, you have met them for us by sending Jesus, Lord. And then as we come to know him, Lord, you encourage us and you make it possible that we can obey you. We thank you and praise you, Lord God, and we pray this all for your glory. And in the name of your son, Jesus, amen.